pray for me? Amen. Am I on? Okay. I can't even tell. Kind of confirmation of what you know, what he said, part of the word that I have, and Sam, she's saying about God's mercy being new, and it's about really a word about breaking through in battle and warfare. And one thing that Woody said, which I've been preaching this for years to everybody, is we don't recognize warfare as warfare. That's the whole deception about it. We don't see it. You just think you're going through something hard. You know, life is hard, of course, but a lot of times we don't recognize it. And so as you grow, we grow in the Lord, recognizing the battle is helps, right? And sometimes as long as TC and I have been doing this, we didn't recognize. We went Friday night and got a really good time at Teen Challenge. And then an hour or two before that, we were just, you know, fussing back and forth with each other and just not really recognizing that's a battle. It gets you distracted, right? And so, but finally we, you know, finally hit us that, maybe this is warfare. Hello. And then we kind of pulled out of it. And the Lord showed up. He would have showed up anyway, right? But it helps to get in, be in the right mind. You're not frustrated when you get up there. Take it out on the people you're talking to, right? It's a good group of guys out there. And Joe and Regina do go there once a month and do worship, and we've been a couple of times and ministered prophetically to these guys and had a word for them. So, good bunch of guys. We're going to be in Lamentations 3. A couple of weeks ago in Eucharist, I did this word. And there's just a lot packed in here. These verses that we'll get to about God's faithfulness and mercy new every morning. Just kind of expounding on these words just to help us in our battle. And this was written at a time Jeremiah wrote Lamentations, and comes from the word to lament, to wail and cry and stuff like that. So it's kind of a tough time in his life, right? What was happening is Jerusalem was being sacked by Nebuchadnezzar. The Babylonians had come in, ransacked, and they hauled all the youth. That's when you read Daniel, you know what happened there. That's when this happened, okay? And he's lamenting. He really has a hard time with the warfare that's going on and the sacking of this. And so I'll read a few verses and you can see. And sometimes we fit into these places. I'm a man who has seen affliction, starting verse 1, Lamentations 3, because of the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and made me walk in the darkness and not in light. Surely against me he has turned his hand repeatedly all the day. He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away, and he has broken all my bones. Not literally. Okay, his skin didn't waste away. None of his bones were broken, but he felt like that. Okay, now understand when I'm reading this at how he's feeling, and we've all felt at different times during the battle. He has besieged and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. In dark places he's made me dwell, like those who have long been dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot go out. He has made my chain heavy. How many of you ever felt like you've been walled in a place and couldn't get out? Right? So we've all been there too. Even when I cry out for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and torn me to pieces. He has made me desolate. So have you ever felt like you're falling apart? Okay. He has bent his bow. He has sent me as a target for the arrow. He made his arrows of his quiver enter into my inward parts. I've become a laughingstock to all people, their mocking song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunk with wormwood. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has made me cower in the dust. My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say, my strength has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. And I'm glad that doesn't stop there, right? That'd be like the most depressing scripture reading ever, right? But we're getting to the good stuff. just kind of make that real in your life. All right? Because we've all been to these places where it feels like these things. Okay? And just because we feel is not reality. And that's one of the things the Lord does as we mature, is separates our feeling being, right? With truth, our emotions. You can't trust in them. They're fallen. And that's the avenue the enemy comes in on. Okay? So you have to trust what is true. Right? Okay. Then he says this, and starting in verse 20. Surely my soul remembers, recalling things, recalling past distresses that I walked through, is what he's saying. He remembers, now my soul is humbled within me. Right? He's remembering. He's recalling past distresses, and now he's getting into this good stuff. Verse 21. This would I recall to mind. That word recall means to return, to turn back to. In other words, he's saying, I'm turning back to what is true. Okay? To my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Right? Find yourself in a place, and you got to return it. Turn back to what is true. Okay? And therefore, I have hope. You know, I was thinking about this thing called our minds. The Lord was just kind of tying it into something I've never really seen. I know it's true. In Romans chapter 7, you can go back there later, write this down. Paul is just talking about the very presence of the principle of sin, the presence of evil within him that we all have, the fallen nature, fallen humanity. But I'm the one, if I'm doing the very thing I don't want to do, I'm no longer the one doing it, the sin which indwells in me. I find that this principle or law, that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in my inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man, we hear this scripture all the time, who will set me free? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. Now on the other hand, with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Okay, but the law of the mind is a principle that God has put within us in our new creation that allows you to perceive and receive the truth. Okay, it's a law. It's a principle he put in there within you. Right? So he's talking about, with my mind, I'm recalling truth. Okay, we all have that within us. It's put in there as a new creation, and it's a law. It's a principle. We have the law of sin. It's a law. You have the greater law, the law of life in Christ, right, which sets you free. But the law of the mind is determined whether which one you're going to go to. Whether you're going to go to the principle of the law of Christ, being set free from sin and death, right, liberty in Christ, or you're going to go to walk in the law of sin. Okay? So it's a good thing, right? It's kind of your little meter God put in you to be able to see and discern truth. That's just a little side issue, but it helps what he's talking about when I recall this to my mind. Okay? God uses that. You know, hey guys, remember, shakes you at times, remember truth. Okay? So this I recall to mind, I'm turning back to with my mind, therefore I have hope. These are the familiar verses, but there's just so much packed in these words here. Verse 22, that the Lord's loving kindness is indeed never cease, and His compassions never fail. And actually how that was written, never cease, should be first, because the best translation of this is, so that you are not consumed, the Lord's loving kindnesses and compassions never cease or fail. So that you are not consumed. Right? And we'll see in the next scripture it talks about in the morning. Okay? So if you ever notice, why does he say in the morning? Because usually that's where the battle starts, is when you first wake up. Whether the law of your mind is going to take you to truth or the law of sin. Right? Which is anxiety, worry, stress, fear, all those too. Okay? So, that's cool how the Lord did that. And really, that is such a great translation. So that you're not consumed, the loving kindness and the compassion of God are there, and they're new every day. Okay? And I want you to break these words down. One, this word compassion is to have deep feelings for someone. Okay? So, God has, whether you realize it or not, or walking, that He has real deep feelings for you. Deep caring feelings. Because He doesn't want you to be consumed. And it comes out of this place of compassion in Him that He has deep feelings for you. Okay? But even better, this word loving kindness. Let me show you all the things. This is when it's kind of like there's no English word to use from this Hebrew. Hebrew's very poetic language. And there's really no English words, so they kind of came up with one, loving kindness, and kind of put them together. Well, every time this word, I'll read you the description of every time this word is used in the Old Testament, the different things that it means. So when you say, okay, so I'm not consumed, the loving kindness and compassion of God is there. This is what the loving kindness kind of looks like. His devotion to you. His covenant loyalty is His loving kindness. Right? His covenant loyalty. He's loyal to you because He's in covenant with you. Right? He set the standards of the covenant, which saying, He'll never leave or forsake you, right? The covenant will never be broken. You're in Christ forever. So His devotion, His covenant loyalty, His faithfulness to you is in this word, loving kindness. Okay? And that's something the Lord has to really do and heal in a lot of us, because there's, you know, you had people abandon you or forsake you, or, you know, when you have that sense, you know, they call it the orphan spirit a lot now. There's a lot into that, you know. This heals that, okay? His faithfulness, His kindness, right? He speaks in kindness. His favor, the favor of God is in His loving kindness. Full of mercy. His unchanging love doesn't waver like ours does. His deeds of devotion and His deeds of righteousness. That's a power-packed word, isn't it? His loving kindness in the morning is over me. And it's so that I'm not consumed. So if I realize His devotion, His covenant, His faithfulness, His favor to me, His kindness, He's full of mercy, His unchanging love, His deeds, that can kind of set me free, right? From this battle I'm in. It should. And His compassions, they just never fail. It means never fail. They are already finished. That word means finished and accomplished and spent. Finished. They never fail. They're finished. They're already accomplished. And everything has been spent for them. Right? That's unfailing. Okay? And it says, which I kept quoting, they're new every morning, verse 23. And vast, the word vast is Your faithfulness, Lord. And that word new, of course, is new, but even more so than that, it's something fresh like every morning. Like having fresh baked bread, or the smell of fresh coffee, or the smell of bacon. Right? It's new. You wake up smelling this. That's really what that word means. It's really that fresh for you when you're awakening. You know, if you go back, how many of you have read the Passion Translation of the Psalm? Get the Passion Translation of the Psalm. Okay? Wonderful. This guy, because again, Hebrew's in poetic language. He does the best, interpretation I've ever heard of, or ever read, of the Psalms. And then go read Psalm 139 from the Passion Translation. Right? About His thoughts being toward you, you know, that outnumber the grains of sand, you know, how He's anticipating you waking up, so He can speak all these things to you. But read it from that. I guarantee you it'll be life-changing for you. It's called the Passion Translation. You can get it on Amazon. You can download it into your e-books or Kindle. So I highly encourage you to do that. It'll make this even come alive even more. So they're new. They're fresh. They're every morning. They're there. great is His faithfulness, vast is the Lord's faithfulness. In verse 24 is really kind of the what I see. I don't want to say the hub, but really kind of this is what makes all this work for us. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in Him. Which means I'm waiting expectantly for Him. All right? If the Lord is not our portion, which meaning our inheritance, our reward, our share, if the Lord is not my portion, then this is really not going to mean that much to you. Right? Because if He is, it really is my inheritance, and He's what my heart desires, He's my portion. You know, just like the Levites of the Old Testament when they went into the land of Canaan, what was their inheritance? God's presence. That's what they got. Other people got the land and, you know, parceled out, but they got, their inheritance was the presence of God. Okay? And that's the reason the New Testament calls us all priests. Right, like the Levitical priest, because our inheritance is Jesus. Okay? He's our portion. He's what we get. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, He is my portion and He is my life. If that's not true, then I'm not going to be, my ears aren't going to be open to His loving kindness and His mercies that are new every day. But if He's your portion, right? If you want to go in and get you a portion of that bacon I'm talking about and that fresh bread and that coffee, you'll be satisfied. Right? It'll satisfy that hunger. But even more so than that, in the context of what we're reading, God being our portion, everything else begins to dwindle or diminish. Right? The things that you think matter really don't. The thing that you thought was important, you were fearing. What are you being afraid of? Right? Once God has spoken all His loyalty to you, how He's already been there. He's already, it's still going to be okay. He's taking care of that. And I'm not going to abandon you or let you go. You can face this day with all confidence and see what I'm saying? On and on and on. Because, you're my pleasure. I got it. I'm going to partake of some of this. Therefore, it says you have hope, is the wait expectantly. Like, you know, you're so expectant, like having a baby or something. You're going to have it, you know, eventually. Kind of that. Or I use this term all the time, too, is that you're staring out the window waiting for someone to come that you know is coming. You're expecting. And it creates a hope in you. Right? Therefore, I have, like, His hope was restored. Like, man, I'll return back to truth. And all of a sudden, hope is restored in Him again. And He's like, yeah, that's right. God, I forgot. So a lot of hard times, and what the other day when I was talking about this, what the Lord showed me, is the Lord will use these things in your life to make you confront who He is. Right? He will use these things that we've talked about, walling you in, you feel like this, you know, falling apart, in order to bring you to a place where you're confronted with who He is. That's good, right? I thank God that He uses that. It's like I always use this analogy. It's like squeezing a watermelon seed. Have y'all ever done that before? Take a watermelon seed and you squeeze it and it'll shoot out of your hand. We used to shoot at each other with a watermelon seed. You know? And, now you got something fun to go do, right? You've never done that, but it's like that. That's what He does. It's like the battle, the pressure, squeeze you to make you shoot to a place that you may not choose on your own, right? So the Lord is the portion; therefore, I have hope in Him. And the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. And again, that word wait is almost like the word hope, but it means an eagerly waiting, like I can't wait. I cannot wait to meet. I can't wait to get with you. Right? And he says, the Lord is good to those. And I'm going to break this word good down for you. It's good as loving kindness. This is when this particular Hebrew word used in the Old Testament of good, this is all the things that he means. If you can just plug it in here. It means pleasant, beneficial, best, charming. Interesting, huh? Cheerful, delightful. Again, favor or favorable. Festive, generous, gracious, happy, precious, pure, pleasing, pleasant sound, splendid, sweet, upright, whatever you wish, and worthy. So he's good to those who wait expectantly. This is what you encounter in his goodness. Pretty cool, huh? So a lot more than our word good. Amen. He's good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It's good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. And then wait silently is just like you're there with all anticipation, like, you know, about to explode, you know. But you're waiting there, and that word is like a Hebrew word for rock. You're waiting there like a rock, knowing that he's fixing it. Just look at Avery back there. Think of a word Bob always uses. He's going to dump truck it on you, right? Dump truck his goodness, his loving kindness, his mercy. So, your biggest battle, talk about that in the breakthrough, is to keep you from this. Right? It's to keep you out of his presence. That's the reason we just have to make a conscious decision. I use this analogy a lot with people when they just say, I can't do something. So, it's like being in a desert place and you're in a chair, it's dry, it's hot. You have no food. You have no water. You feel horrible. But over here, you can see like this oasis with trees, and you can hear water running. You can even see the fruit on the trees. But you don't feel like doing it, right? So common sense would say, the law of your mind would say, get up and go over there, where there's water, food, and life. Right? That's where we battle. Because your flesh, the law of sin, wants you to stay there. Right? But there's a calling for that. And once you got up, once we get up and go over there and enjoy some of that stuff, then it's much easier to do it the next time. Right? I was thinking about, too, kind of winding this up. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 73. And Psalm 73 is a psalm of this guy named Asaph. You know, they're like five different writers of the psalms. But Asaph was one of the writers, okay? Asaph was a guy who was one of the musicians for the temple. David's musicians. And he actually moved up to head musician. And they would spend their time with this music, kind of in the tabernacle or in there, in just kind of lingering around and with worship music all the time in the presence of God. So he was there when David was there, and he was even there when Solomon was born. And a lot of those guys really thought back then that when Solomon was born, he was going to be the Messiah. It didn't turn out like that. Okay. Of course, we know he wasn't. He started good. He ended terrible. So he went through all this disappointment. And actually, he had a brother. If you go back and read Matthew chapter 23, I think verse 35 around there, this guy, Prophet Zechariah, was Asaph's brother. Solomon had him put to death. He was a prophet. And you read that in Matthew, like, well, I don't know if it's not the same guy. It's the other guy. It's a different Zechariah. But he was Asaph's brother. Solomon had him killed. So Asaph had just gone through a lot of disappointment, went through the death of his brother. You know, the way things turned out just didn't turn out well. And so you see him saying this in his life. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, I was senseless and ignorant, and I acted like a beast before you. You ever done that? What I would call, you ever cut up and act a fool? Right? Because things aren't going, you know, life is just going like the way you plan, or things happen, or all this, you know. We all do that, don't we? He found himself there. He said, Lord, I was like a beast. I mean, I just like lost my mind. What happened? I just, you know. We all do that, whether you want to admit it or not. You may be cool on looking on the outside, but inside, sometimes you act the fool. Cutting up, right? But here's what he said. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far off from you will perish, and you have destroyed those who are unfaithful to you, the enemy. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of your works. And when he, in verse 17, says all this happened when he returned to the sanctuary and got back in the presence of God. He's reasoning return to it, right? That thing, the law of the mind we talked about, that returns you to who you are in Christ. All that you have in Him returns. Okay? One moment out of the sanctuary, out of His presence, out of not listening to what we talk about, His loving kindness, His goodness, His mercy over you, you'll melt pretty quickly. Right? So just back there, constantly reminded of who you are, God speaking these things in His presence. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right, will it stand?